yesterday afternoon about the will of God. And, beloved, God's will for you and I is the very best for us. You know, each one of us, we have that within us that just seems to rebel against doing the will of others. But oh, as we think of our Lord Jesus, one thinks of how He could say, "Not my will, but thine be done." His will was always obedient to the Father's will. And oh, He could say, "I do always those things that please my Father." My desire, beloved brethren, this afternoon, young and old alike, that you and I might be found doing those things that please the One who loved us and died for us. Our time for doing this is drawn close to an end. I believe the coming of the Lord is surely drawn near. And oh, how happy we'd be if you and I would be found always doing those things that please Him. How are we going to know what pleases the Lord Jesus? Well, God has given us His Word to show us. He has given us His Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to teach us His will. But you know, we have to be willing to do His will. And I believe that's the path of happiness, to be willing. I'd like to read a verse to begin with in the 13th chapter of Hebrews. And verse 7. The last part of the verse. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. You know, beloved saints of God, and dear young people here this afternoon, God wants you and I to follow His Word. You know, there's something within us that likes to follow the failures of others. But it tells us whose faith follow. But I like to remind you and myself too that the God of this world, whom the Lord Jesus could call a deceiver, a liar, the accuser of the brethren, I want to say He's very clever. He's still going about seeking to deceive. And He is a robber. He is a thief. There's one thing He cannot do, and that's rob a Christian of their salvation. One who is indwelt by the Spirit of God, a born-again Christian, if you like, one who belongs to Christ. He cannot rob us of our salvation. But He can rob us of our joy of our salvation. He can hinder us from following the Lord Jesus. And so it says here, whose faith follow. And then it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. This blessed book does not change. You know, when we came to Des Moines on Friday, I found a lot of changes in the highway around Chicago. And you know, you have to be alert. And you have to follow the signs. And I found out that some of those signs weren't there. And then the next thing I saw was a sign 294. And there was no way I could get off to get on 80 to get here. I had to continue on that wrong road to the next exit, which was a good few miles. Oh, how we need to be alert today. And I want to say this. The enemy of our souls is seeking to change the Word of God. And there are many new Bibles on the market today. And some of them are not complete. And there are some things that are false. And I want to warn each one of us. We need to be careful who we follow. Oh, this translation I hold in my hands, the King James. And I have another one in my Bible case, the J&B. It's proven itself and is reliable. And I just like to warn each one here, especially young people. I heard a young brother say, well, I like to read this other translation because I can understand it better. Well, I like to say this. I've never had a high school education. But I don't have any problem reading the Word of God. No problem at all. The language is very easy to read and to understand. So I just mentioned that. Oh, just let's be careful. I didn't say anything to that brother, but he had a university education. Oh, beloved, if you and I are going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we must keep our eye upon Him. And there are many that are taken away from the Lord Jesus, that which is His title, the glory that belongs to Him. But I just mentioned that, by the way, whose faith follow? Who are you and I following today? Are we following brethren? Who are we following? It says here, whose faith follow? And then it brings before us the perfect example, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'd like to turn to some other scriptures. Some things that would hinder us from following the path of faith. And then some other scriptures that would encourage us. Could we turn first of all to the first Psalm? Psalm 1. Blessed or happy is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And so here we have a little word of warning in this chapter. And we have this encouragement, happy, blessed or happy, is the one who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, So there are two classes of people around us today. Those who are ungodly and those who are godly. May I ask each one of us, which of those two companies are you and I found in? Oh, we might say, well, I'm found in the company of the ungodly. But I want to say this. We're living in an ungodly world. And we need to be on our guard. Satan is a deceiver. And he knows how to deceive us. He knows how to paint a rosy picture of a certain path. But you know, the book of Proverbs reminds us, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. But oh, it warns us, the end thereof are the ways of death. Well, we know that the path of the ungodly will not help us to please the Lord. And so whose company are we found in? Are we found in the path of the ungodly? I want to just give a little warning. There will be no true joy and happiness in that path. And in that path, beloved, you're going to find that the God of this world is not only a deceiver, but he's a thief. He's a thief. And you know what? Thief is very, very clever. Most of them. As I found out once to my sorrow, I didn't know it, but I went to a bank and pulled out my wallet. It wasn't there. It wasn't there. It was gone. A thief had got it. Well, I just mentioned that we need to be careful. We're living in an ungodly world. But I want to say this. You and I have the truth of God. Satan is a thief. And he is going to seek to rob us of the truth. He will seek to cause us to compromise. And I want to say you cannot compromise with evil and have God's blessing and approval. And so we find the path here of the ungodly and the path of those who are godly. And it says here, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Oh yes, the one who's not walking in the counsel of the ungodly, why, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Well, that's something good for us. We all lack that. I speak for myself. How there needs to be that meditating. How there needs to be that making the Word of God our own, so that it becomes a part of our whole life. And then there's that blessing. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Who is this speaking of? It's speaking about the one who is not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Yes, he will have fruit. You know, in the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, the Lord could say, you haven't chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you might bring forth fruit. Wouldn't it be nice, beloved, that there would be more fruit in our lives as a result of being here during these 3 days? Wouldn't it be lovely that there would be that fruit that even those who don't love the Lord Jesus can discern a difference, can see that there is fruit in our life? Oh, if we want to bring forth fruit, there must be that keeping close to the Lord Jesus, having Him as our object. I want to digress a little. Last night, I was following the brother to his home. But I didn't get 2 blocks before I lost him. What happened? Another car got in between us. And the brother made a right turn, and then he made a left turn. The car in front of me had stopped because he wanted to make a left turn. And so by allowing that other car to get in between us, I missed the brother who had laden me. And so when I was able to make the turn, he was gone. Now what am I going to do? Well, I stepped on the gas to try to catch up to him. But it didn't seem that he was ahead at all. And I thought, surely he didn't turn and go the other way. And I turned around and went the other way. But you see, when I went the other way, then I noticed a sign that I was going west instead of east. So I knew that wasn't the right way. And so then I turned around and came back again. And then I saw 30th Street, which I should have gone on. But as it was dark, I couldn't see 30th Street. And so I thought, well, I can go to 29th Street and just get around. It'd go the same direction. Then I found out I made a mistake. And I wandered around last night for an hour, I guess, not knowing which way to go. Oh, I got almost near my destination. But oh, it was so dark. I couldn't see the signs. Couldn't see the signs. But I'll tell you one thing I did. I did stop my car and got a flashlight out of the trunk, and we used it. And you know, we got to a street, we had to shine that light right there to make sure that we were going the right way. Well, we got going the right way, and it was so dark. Oh, it's so difficult to see the sign. And so we wandered around. And I saw a good part of Des Moines last night that I didn't know existed. Well, what are we going to do? Well, I tell you what we did. And my wife says, why don't we pray about it? And we did. And then I noticed in my mirror a car behind me. And I just felt led, just stopped. And I stopped, and I stopped. And he was very polite. I tried to tell him where I wanted to go, and I gave him the street and the address. He started to explain the way to me, and then he said, oh, he says, never mind, just follow me, I'll take you there. Well, off he went, and I followed him. And in 2 minutes, why, we were where we wanted to go. Well, as we got there to where we wanted to go, I thanked the man very much for his kindness. He says, don't thank me, thank the Lord. And we said, are you a Christian? He said, yes, I am. And he says, I knew you were too by your text on the back of your car. Well, I just mentioned this. How nice it is to just look at the Lord and ask His help. And there may be those times in our life, dear young people, when we don't know which way to turn. We seem to be going here and going there, but we're not making any progress. We're not getting where we want to go. Well, isn't it nice We can ask the Lord to show us. I think of that verse in Genesis 24. I be in the way the Lord led me. Thou hast my master's brand. It's nice to be in the way. But if we get out of the way, don't keep on going like I did. Just stop. If I'd only stopped sooner, I'd have done less wandering. Oh, tonight my heart is sad. Because there are some missing here in this company that were here the last time I came to mind. And back home in our country, there are some missing at the Lord's table. They're not there. What has happened? One can only feel that they're following failure instead of faith. Oh, our book of Hebrews says, whose faith follow Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And His Word does not change. And there is a path for faith. And it's a path of blessing. But if we find ourselves getting on a path, another path, where the ungodly are prevailing, we're going to be led astray. And we're going to be the loser. Well, I just want to read one more verse in connection with what the psalmist says here. Just turn over to the 26th Psalm for one verse. And it's the 5th verse. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Notice what our first psalm says. Blessed or happy is a man that standeth not, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, if you don't walk with the ungodly, you're not going to be found standing and sitting with them. May I ask each one, whose company are you in? When you leave these meetings, go home. Whose company are you going to be in? Are you going to seek your own company? Well, I just mentioned that. With the psalmist, there was that purpose of heart that he would not sit with the ungodly. Now you turn over to the 16th Psalm. Psalm 16. I'm going to read the whole chapter. Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to Thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offering of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names unto my lips. The Lord is a portion of mine inheritance. Out of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. This psalm is a lovely prayer that each one of us can pray every day, knowing that would be God's desire for us to pray. Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. Oh, we can't keep ourselves, young people. We need the Lord to keep us. We can't walk through life without the help of our Lord Jesus. And may this be the prayer of our hearts. Oh, if we are praying this prayer, it's going to preserve us from walking in that path of the ungodly. It's going to stop us from standing with the ungodly and sitting in their company. I sometimes mention Peter. And dear Peter, what a faithful man of God he was. But again, the Word of God reveals to us that there was failure in Peter's life. And where did it begin? I believe it began with self-confidence. We can't keep ourselves. The Lord had said to Peter, "Watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation." That word "watch" suggests the thought that we have to be on our guard, because the enemy of our souls is seeking to rob us of the truth. He's seeking to rob us of our testimony. And if he can cause us to stand in the way of the ungodly, it's not going to be long before he'll have us sitting in their company. And one step leads to another. And so how we need the Lord to preserve us. And how nice it is that we can look to the Lord, and that psalmist could say here in verse 11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." You know, young people and older ones too, sometimes you hear them say, "I want to see life." Oh, there's only one true life. This path here, the path of life, the Word of God tells us where it takes us. It takes us into His presence. It tells us what's there. And I'm sure we all have to confess, we all like to be happy. Oh, the path of faith. The path of life here takes us into the presence of God, where there's pleasures forevermore. Now would you turn over to the New Testament? But perhaps we might read one verse in the book of Hosea, 6th chapter. And the 3rd verse. Sometimes I'm asked the question, how are we going to know what the will of God is for us? Well, this verse says, "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord." And if you want to know God's will for your life, beloved one, this afternoon, you and I must follow the Lord. And if we follow any human leader, we're going to be led astray. Oh, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Now the New Testament. Let's remember that God reveals His will to us through His Word. We turn to the Ephesians chapter 5. We turn to the Ephesians chapter 5.
Fifth chapter of Ephesians. And read from verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now we mentioned Peter. I just like to mention this for our encouragement and for our warning. Peter was told to watch and pray lest he would enter into temptation. But instead of watching, he went to sleep while the Lord prayed. Again, the Lord came to him and said the same words to his disciples, but they went to sleep again. They did not pray. May I pass this comment on to you that my dear mother told us boys when we were young? It's remained with me for 60 years. The prayer meeting is a powerhouse for the assembly. It's a powerhouse. And I want to say it's a powerhouse for each one of us as individual believers. Prayer. In dependence on the Lord is going to give us the power to walk in the path of obedience. The path of obedience to the Word of God. Poor Peter, when the Lord allowed those soldiers to take him, he followed afar off. And now he is in a wrong position. Dear young people, older ones, are you in a wrong position this afternoon? I would like to warn anyone. I was warned myself as a young man. If you are in a wrong position, it is going to take you into wrong company. Peter followed afar off, and then he went into Pilate's judgment hall. Rather, Caiaphas was there, the high priest, and the soldiers, and there the religious rulers, seeking his life, the life of the Lord Jesus. Oh, he submitted to them. And Peter, he entered. And then he began to warm himself at the fire of those ungodly people. He's in wrong company. And being in wrong company will bring a wrong testimony from our lips. They said, "You're one of his disciples." "No, I'm not." Without thinking, he said, "No, I'm not." 3 times he was asked that, and 3 times he denied the Lord. Being in a wrong company
is going to bring a wrong testimony from your lips and my lips. And the end of such a course is this. A wrong testimony is going to bring tears and sorrow and trial into the life of God's children who are found in wrong company. Oh, one heart aches this afternoon as I think of some who are dear to me. As a result of being in wrong company, there was that wrong testimony from their lips. And their testimony is gone. They've made shipwreck of their life. Oh, God doesn't want you and I to make shipwreck of our life. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to bring forth fruit for Him. And if we're going to bring forth fruit, beloved, we must take heed to the warnings of God's Word. You know, in the 119th Psalm, let's turn back just briefly a moment, hold in this Ephesians 5. In the 119th Psalm, there is a blessing in our happiness. It says in verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimony, that seek Him with the whole heart. And then we'll just go down a little further. And the psalmist says in verse 5, oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. And then he goes on in verse 8, verse 7, I will praise Thee with the brightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes, forsake me not utterly. And then he goes on, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart I have sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. And one more verse, verse 18. Open Thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. Oh, isn't it nice that we have these blessed words in this psalm? Yes, there is that happiness for the undefiled who walk in the law of the Lord. But the psalmist could say, oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. I want to say this, every true Christian here this afternoon has the Spirit of Christ indwelling their hearts. And that's the work of the Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. And He would never lead us in a wrong path that is contrary to the truth. Never. Oh, the psalmist could say, oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. What are His statutes, beloved? I say this for those who are young. You know, statutes, an old brother used to tell us many years ago. He used a big word. And he says, statutes are decreed limitations. And then he would illustrate what that meant to our children. In our yard, we had a big fence all around the yard. And there were two gates. One gate on one side and two gates on the other side for the driveway to drive the car in. And those gates were shut. When our children were young, we were careful to keep those gates shut. And this dear brother said, children, you see that fence around there? You can go outside and play, can't you? You can go outside and play. There's that fence and there's a gate. But you know you can't go out the gate. If you go out that gate, you're not going to have liberty. Because you know you're disobedient. Daddy says you're not to go outside the gate. And so there's
perfect liberty inside the fence. But to go outside, then it would be to break commandments. And so God has that sphere, beloved, for you and I to walk in. And it's the path of righteousness. And may the desire of our heart always be to be found where the Word of God would direct us. And so, how nice it is to have the Word of God. And again I say, the 16th Psalm, "Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust," is a good prayer to begin the day with. But then, you need to read the Word, and I think the 18th verse is another prayer we can all pray. "Open now mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And beloved, there's many wonderful promises in His Word. Well, our time has gone down. I want to just go on briefly in Ephesians 5. We have the warning here, and it tells us here, verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And so we have a responsibility this afternoon. It is a wonderful privilege to be born again and to be brought into God's family. But with this privilege comes responsibility. And you and I are responsible to read God's Word and to obey it. And how nice it is to have it as a light for our pathway. 119th Psalm again, verse 105. You don't need to turn to it. But there it speaks about the Word of God as a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. I'm thankful for a light when it's dark. Very thankful. And if you and I try to walk in the dark, if you and I try to walk outside the path of liberty that the Word of God gives us, we're going to be found walking in darkness. And if you walk in darkness, you're going to have a fall. You know what happens when you have a fall? I'm going to repeat a little story, a true one. A dear brother was in a certain assembly visiting the saints, and he walked around this house where he was staying, and it was dark. And he fell down a steep hole. It was an old cellar where a house had been, and it had never been filled in. And as he walked around, down he went. He was hurt badly. He had wounds, scars, and had to return home after seeing the doctor. 2 years later, it was my privilege to be in that same assembly, and I was in that same house. As I sat on the Chesterfield, I wondered whether that hole was still there around the house. And I decided to find out. And I walked around. Only I walked in the daylight. There it was. That old excavation was still there. And as I looked down, I couldn't help but shudder to think of falling down headlong on a dark night in that hole. I mentioned to one there, that's dangerous to have that big old cellar there, that big hole. Why don't you cover it up or put a barricade around it? And I mentioned this brother who had that fall, and they said this without any concern. He had a flashlight in his hand and he didn't have it turned on. He was walking in the dark. He had the flashlight, but he didn't have it turned on. You and I say how foolish to walk in a strange place in the dark, having a flashlight and not turning it on. How foolish! May I ask you this? Is there any difference for you and I to have the Word of God with all the warnings that God warns us from? All those temptations, those pitfalls. We have the Word of God, and the psalmist could say, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. It's not enough to have the Word. You must walk in the light of the Word of God. And if you and I walk in the light of this precious book, we're not going to have that kind of a fall. It would bring scars to our life and dishonor to the Lord's name. And so here, going down in our chapter, we have in verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And then verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. I believe, brethren, we need to be warned to awake. Who is it that has this warning? Those that sleep. As I look around here, I don't see any eyes shut. I don't see anyone sleeping. But it may be that there might be some here whose minds are closed to the precious Word of God. Your mind may be occupied with the pleasure of this life, of what you're going to do tomorrow or the next day or when you get out of this building. Your mind may be so occupied with that that you're blinded as to the truth of the warnings of God's Word. Oh, there needs to be that awakening to be conscious of our danger. We're living in an evil world. But oh, how wonderful it is to be conscious of the Lord's presence this afternoon. And so, we have this warning, awake thou that sleepest. Our time is just about up. But I'd just like to read one more verse in the book of Proverbs and then a verse in Romans. The book of Proverbs, I believe it's the 16th chapter. And the 16th verse. No. 20. It's the 21st chapter and the 16th verse. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding. Oh, beloved ones, that's what Satan would like to do, to lead you out of the way of understanding. The Word of God warns the end of such a path. The man that wanders out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. I don't want to say you can't have any fellowship with dead people. And oh, what folly for a Christian to try to have fellowship with one who is still dead and trespassing and sin. And oh, the folly and the danger of those who are contemplating marriage with another who is still dead in trespass and sin. I just mention that as a warning without comment. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. But now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Knowing the time, oh brethren, it's high time to wake out of sleep. It's high time to realize this. We're not going to be left here much longer. The coming of the Lord has drawn nigh. It's high time to wake out of sleep. And again, the sleep speaks of that unconscious state of which the mind can be in while still awake as far as the body is concerned. And so it's high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer when we believe. The night is far spent. Oh, I love this. These few verses. How good it is to know. The night is far spent. The coming of the Lord is drawn near at hand. And you know what happens when the night is far spent? The morning star appears before the break of day. Oh, the Lord Jesus as a morning star. He's coming, beloved, for His own. And what a day that will be when He comes for us. Oh, as we think of that blessed event, does it not mean anything to us? Does it not encourage us to hold fast the precious truth of God? Does it not encourage us to allow this blessed book to control our hearts? And oh, I say, if this book, the Word of God, controls our hearts, it'll control our feet too. Well, there's a responsibility. The night is far spent. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And I say the precious Word of God, there's where we're going to find the armor. And I would say read Ephesians 6, you'll get the armor. And when does the armor need to be put on? If the armor is going to do you any good, preserve you from a fall, preserve you from a fiery dart of the enemy, you must put that armor on before the battle. Yes, we must have it on at all times. And so here the apostle closes, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Oh, we still have that old nature of the flesh in here. And Paul could say in Romans chapter 8, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. God's desire is that you and I might please Him. And so may the Lord help us to lay aside those things that are really feeding this old nature of ours. I remember a favorite verse of an old brother used to come to these meetings. And it's John 6 and verse 63. I'm going to quote it. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Are you and I making provision for the flesh? Is there something we're allowing in our lives that is helping us make provision for the flesh? May we seek grace from the Lord to lay it aside for Him. We sing from the book.